crack that open before we go. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Aviation Arsenal Podcast. My name is Joe.
My name is Matt.
And tonight, this afternoon,
wherever you are,
it's like
whenever you
are. Yeah, it's almost 11:30 p.m. our time. We got started way late tonight. But this episode 73, we're talking about tools, specifically our top. Picks
for the hobby.
Okay, so sort of the like what we think like the most useful tools are, and then I think as we both got you posed that idea, I was like, yeah, that's great. And then we both went to make our list, and we were, ooh,
it was harder.
I don't know how many I could think of.
It was harder than I thought. You know, I mean, I'm like, oh well, no, that's not a tool, and that's a product. It's, you know, you know what I mean? It's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, let me. Oh, that's a good tool. Well, is that a tool? Yeah. All right.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And, we'll see. You know, if there's a tool that you love to use that makes your life way easier with the hobby, then feel free to let us know about it.
Yeah.
You know, we're certainly not the end all be all. So we'll get into that shortly. But before, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been doing, do some community discussion. Matt, you had a nice outing, it looked like, it sounded like.
Yeah, it was part of the reason why we pushed the podcast back just a little bit. There's a bunch of things kind of rolling around, and one of them is I went to an air show. We went to the MCAS of Beaufort, South Carolina. So that's the... Why am I blanking on? Of course, I.
You sure it's not Beaufort?
Is it Beaufort? I don't know. Nobody told us.
Was it down near Charleston?
Yeah,
it's way. Yeah, it's Beaufort.
Yeah, okay, it's Beaufort. Okay, so it's basically it was an air show, and it was awesome. They had all the things that you could ever want to see, that the military has to display, and then some. Just a myriad of pictures that we took. You got to get up real close and get in some of the planes, all sizes, all shapes, and we'll get into that later. There's and of course, while all that's happening, there's performances on the ground and in the sky. You know, it was a pretty good extravaganza of flight. So, like I said, we'll get into that in a minute. But you know, and then Joe and I have been kind of working at different things. I think in the hobby, I don't know what you've specifically been working on, Joe, but I know you had some things kind of boiling last time we talked a couple weeks ago.
I don't even remember what I talked about last time. I talked a little bit about having started the assembly of the Model B.
Mm-hmm.
I had the wing together, somewhat together. Yeah, I still hadn't gotten a 3D printer running again since we last spoke. So there's still a lot of those little doodad parts I got to print before I can continue on. But I did order in a while back some of the metal rods and screws and bolts and some of the things I'm going to need for finalizing that. I just got to get my printer going, man. I've had time. I've just been... not utilizing it very well.
Look, not all free time necessarily has to be devoted to the hobby, right? We all have likes that go beyond, you know, this subject. So, you know,
what?
It's tough. I know, it's hard to believe.
Blasphemy.
Even me, if you believe that.
I don't, but.
Look, I'm not saying I'm not thinking of planes while I'm watching a movie or doing some other stuff like playing disc golf, but, you know. Just saying. It's okay. We do other things.
So I've been to, I brought home a table probably 2 months ago, or I don't know how long ago it was, but it's like an 8 foot long wall mount table shelf thing, just one of those flat tops.
Yeah.
So that'll eventually get set up here in the garage. I've got it set up on one of my folding tables right now for intending to do a little plane building. I ended up pulling the other skinned Spitfire out.
Okay.
That we had done up for last year, because I never assembled it, and it was warped at the time.
Okay.
The gluing process, because that Super 77 does melt the foam.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember seeing some of the warping I had in the one, and this one's specifically that horizontal stab was just almost rolled.
So, so how has time treated it?
It's the same, because it's been sitting up on top of my server here in the garage.
Okay.
So it's not been in like a bad environment. It's just, you know, I've not been doing anything to try to straighten it out. Okay, so yeah. I've got a little bit of weight set on a couple different parts. I'm going to see if, yeah, I looked around. How do I straighten out foam board? Especially considering this is like glued. It's not something I can just give it a light moisture that's not going to cause it to delaminate and kind of reform it.
Well, I was thinking it would be more like if you had a
hit with alcohol.
A humid environment,
mm-hmm.
where you just let the paper relax and then basically have a little bit of weight on it so it would flatten. And then mm-hmm. once it's, you know, once you're done, you're like, okay, it's flat. You're bringing it back into a less humid environment and let the paper kind of reconstitute to be dry mm-hmm. and stiff again. And I think that would probably, that'd probably solve it. Of course, patience.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right now I've got it set on a, what I know is a flat surface, and I've got some flat weight on top of the horizontal stab, and I'm going to see if that doesn't pull that warping out of it.
Okay.
Because it seemed to have just, you know, the 2 days that I've had the weight sitting on the, not a ton of weight, but.
No, just a little bit.
Well, it's taking a fair bit. So this is a little container of drill bits. Yeah, like the little
mm-hmm.
open up case that as it stands the bits up. So not a ton, but a little bit of weight. And then I've got a hammer sitting on top of that just for extra weight to work it flat.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. And then I pulled out, I hadn't cracked it open, but I also pulled out, the FT, was it the mini biplane? I've got a, I've got a kit for that from Flight Fest last year, and the FT-3D, I think.
Oh yeah.
Which is the kit that I got for volunteering.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, but those have just been carried out. You know, they're now out here on the table. They may end up making their way back in, but. And then the Flurkin's still in pieces. So there's not been a lot. Just more thinking about the hobby more than doing a whole lot with it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the best place to have ideas for them that give you the inspiration to get at a project.
It can be. I know I was actually in preparation for Flight Fest. And next episode, I think we're going to talk more in depth about getting ready for Flight Fest, things to take, like we did last year, just, you know, another revisit of that topic. I was looking at power options for when we're out there. And I don't think I'm going to follow up on any of them, but they do have battery packs that can provide AC current for like our heat guns and our my laptop mm-hmm. while we're mm-hmm. out there and such.
Yeah.
That, you know, when we're more down towards the flight line, I could take forward and plug in and recharge battery pack. I was actually looking at a little two-stroke 1,200-watt fuel generator.
Which plane are you putting that on?
But apparently that's not quiet at all.
Okay.
So I mean, I don't think I would really have a power option. I don't know, pull a car battery or something to with us.
Where we were, we weren't really far from the tents at all. But yeah, I get you. And the built tents have power, so it was easy to kind of, if you needed to charge and do some basics, like it was all there. It's pretty easy to do. But yeah, I get where you're coming at. Oh, yeah, we need to add tarps to the list of things to bring for this year.
Oh?
Well, if we're having a couple tables and we want to set out our planes up on the tables and leave them out overnight, we want to put tarps over it. Keep the dew off.
That's fair.
I'm just, you know, rolling a couple of ideas before we get there.
I mean, no, that's fair. I mean, the other option is I go buy another mansion of a tent and we can use that storm.
Oh, Jesus. We don't have that kind of, we don't have all that kind of room. I'd rather have more tent space, I guess more like a pop-up build area, hangout space, than actually have like a plane storage unit. But I mean, we also might be able to set up the one half of my mansion as that, especially if it's just you and I, we might be able to do more of that kind of thing. So we'll figure that out.
Right. And I'm still planning to bring my little pup tent. Okay. That can be used for storing some. So we'll have places to put them.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple tarps I can bring.
Excellent. Anyway, we'll get into more of that detail. I just want to make sure you've got that on your radar, because that's something that was on my radar, and if I don't put it somewhere, yeah, I might forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, so what else have you been – so you're looking at those two. Which one of those two are you going to build first, do you think?
Probably neither one of those two.
Okay.
The mini biplane, the FT-3D. I need to finish the Flurkin, and I want to build that Spitfire. And I want to get this Model B. I am by no means going to have all my planes built before Flight Fest. Because I've also got all this Depron sitting here to do the Jetworks RC builds.
Yeah, there's that too. Don't forget the Noob. The FT Noob.
The Noob.
The FT Noob is finished. It is available for download on the FT forums as a resource. There's also a whole sticker set by our good friend Tony, who's a Flying Tiger, and his logo is Dynamic RC. So thanks to Spons for helping us do that. Don't forget, it's there. And new announcement, or it's official, kits have been cut. And they are ready to go. So if you have more money than time versus more time than money, you can go to hangrc.com and look for the FT Noob. It is for sale there at a very reasonable price. And Sam will get that out to you as soon as he can. Production is running. So please go get your Noob. We have build nights coming up. We'll cover that in a little bit in the community section.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, a little shameless plug there.
No, you're good. That reminds me. I keep thinking while I'm at work, I need to print off the plans, and I just keep forgetting.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's about it for me. Again, it's just been a quiet 3 weeks on that front.
Yeah. I get it, man. It's nice when you get them. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you can get them. This is not the time of year for me to get any of that. Just not. Never is.
Well, I am not blessed with children, so that's not part of my schedule.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's not all them. It's just, you know, there's things I want for them and that they want to do, and I want them to be active. And because of those wants, it means the schedule just gets chock full of nuts. So,
I believe it.
Anyway,
I remember growing up. Just the things that I had going on, it made it a lot easier when I started being able to drive, and my parents, trust me to drive and to drive my sister to some things.
Oh yeah, because they're like, we don't have to go, we can stay here and do all those other things we need to do. Great,
but yeah, we just take for granted the amount of time and energy it takes.
yeah,
for the adults in our lives at that age to do that, to be there to let us do those things. And so you look,
if you're young and listening, I'm like,
how did y'all accomplish any of those things when y'all had us?
They just made it work. So if you're younger and listen to this podcast, just think about all the things your parents help you do and thank them for it. They won't expect it, and you'll get all sorts of brownie points. You might even get a new motor or something. I don't know. But either way, they, you know, say thanks every once in a while. It'll delight and surprise your friends. Absolutely. And your
so what have you been working on?
Boy, it's been two things, mostly. I've been working on the 300% noobs.
And I
dolled up the noob I had finished in the build night. So I made that look all the kinds of pretty. I finished all the control surface connections, all the stuff. I set up a model in the transmitter. So it is, the Death Star is fully operational for sure. and matter of fact, I got a chance to go out today, just today, because we had there's a 45-minute window between one thing and the other. I'm like, that might be just enough.
It's time.
15 minutes to get out the field. It was a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful day for the last couple of days, and I just have not been able to get out and do a thing. And so I was able to go out for 15 minutes, literally exactly 15 minutes. We rolled the field. We went out to the local park, and there's people working on the field, and then there was, in the other section I might have been able to fly. Again, it's a maiden flight, so I don't know. I know it'll fly well because I know the Wonders fly well, but I don't know that this Wonder will fly well, right? And I don't know if it's all trimmed out. So, and then the other section, there was a lady with a stroller and a baby, and, they're having fun in the grass or whatever. I'm like, I'm not going to try to bully them off the field so I go fly an airplane, and I don't have to worry about it. All right, let's go to the field. So we went to the flying field, and just as we got there, there's three of club members who were, they were packing up their larger planes, which was really cool to see some of the planes kind of caught an eye. And then we, started up. I said, okay, here's the phone. You do the filming. My youngest came out with me. And he said, okay. So he had it ready. And I plugged in the battery, and off we went, right? So lickety-split, we threw it in the air, and it wasn't like a perfect launch, but it was a pretty perfect launch. I kind of rolled a little to the right. It looked good. Yeah, rolled a little to the right and kind of ran back around and just tried to trim it out as best I could so I didn't lose control as I was trying to trim it, which is good. I got as close as I could, and I think I set the trim settings too fine. I think I have it as fine and not coarse or medium. So that means that each trim notch increment is a smaller throw amount.
Right.
And I needed it to be bigger. And I just don't know. I didn't get there. So I was like, oh, darn, close. It was close enough, and I was able to trim it level. So I was really just having a little bit, always want to roll a little bit to the right. So I had to keep a little bit left in there. So the flying wasn't as maybe aggressive as it could have been, but I was able to, bring it around, just fly it slow overhead. And it was flying. And this is the Sunny Sky Motors that I had on the big flying wing, the Kraken.
Okay.
It's because the Kraken busted. I have to redo the pods again. And so I'm like, well, while I've got those motors that are great, not on something, let me put on something, make them useful while until I can get back to that plane. Okay, so I put it in the Noob Wonder, and again, it was flying slow, and it was at 25 or 30% throttle. And it was, kind of putzing around pretty nice. I told that to my son, and Logan's like, what? 30%? Oh my gosh, that thing's going to go really fast. I'm like, yeah, probably. I said, we haven't even really hit past 50% yet on any of the stuff we've done so far. I said, we'll get there.
Oh, wow.
We'll get there, though. He's like, oh, okay. I just want to make sure it's close to trim before I punch it, and I really got to hold on to the sticks tight. anyway, so yeah, we kind of puttered around the sky a little bit and got it and did a couple, a couple rolls, a couple loops. They were a little squirrely because again, I always wanted to, the center was not where it should have been. So I wasn't having a hard time adjusting for it, but it was tight enough. And I was doing some stuff, I was bringing in low, and I'm like, okay, we're going to go high. I'm going to crank it up. We're going to see how fast this can go. I'm like, rrr. And so I cranked it and I saw kind of how I was behaving when I did. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. let's bring it in lower. So I did a big like circle around the sky as I brought it down low, and I leveled it out and banked it around so you could see the whole bottom of it as it came around, you know. And then I brought it out around and so you could see the whole top. As you know,
oh, that was intentional.
Oh yeah, yeah, somewhat.
Wink, wink.
No, it was mostly intentional. Well, some of it was like, oh, it's coming at us, and I'm like, no, that's good though. I was trying to get it lower and close, so just maybe not as close as it had gotten. That's okay. So then we, you know, I took it up and around, and then I was like, okay, this is great. And we've been flying for about 5 minutes or so. I'm like, this kind of shows off. And it, you know, it was turning, I had mid rates and it was turning on a dime, and the roll rate was fast. It was excellent. It was like, it was a combat plane. It was ready mm-hmm. for combat. You know what I mean? Again, once I get the trim set out, it's ready for combat. So I'm really excited. Turns out, I mean, it looks amazing. I love the way it looks in the sky. It looks sleek. It looks fast. Thanks to Tony for making it look like a 1930s racer plane. It flies that way. Again, I've got the 2220 Sunny Sky. It's a 6-turn motor with a 1,150 kV motor. It's on a 4S 2200 battery. The battery is almost like kind of mid bay. So it kind of hangs in a nice sweet spot. I mean, I have a lot of room to either add or subtract battery if I wanted. And let's see, it's, I think, a 40 amp ESC. Otherwise it's just standard setup, regular servos. And it handled like a champ, flew like it was ready for combat. So I'm excited to, you know, kind of tweak it and get it trimmed properly. And then we'll be in good shape, and I'll be ready to kind of fly it like I stole it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really excited. It was a really good trip. And Logan was excited about it too. And I said, yeah, I'm building like 3 more of these things. I said, one of them is definitely yours. So think about how you want yours to look. Cause I'm excited. We're going to get this going on. He's like, oh, okay. That sounds good. So he's pretty excited. And I know I've got to build one for the build video that we've been trying to make. I've been trying to squirrel away some time for it. And it just, every time I set aside the time, it gets pushed out. So it is coming. So if you do get a kit, we are trying to put together a build video. I think either Spons or I are going to put together some sort of assembly instructions in the meantime. Some sort of kind of graphical, you know, put these together, glue it here, put notch in the tab, that kind of deal.
Right.
In a pictorial session. Other than that, I mean, I've been working on the 300% noob, which is going well, and it feels like it's going slow, but it's not. So I've put this one spar fully together, which is 2 sheets of foam width with all the trussing and the holes inside, and they snugly fit the broom handle that I was designing to be the main spar workhorse, right? And it's basically, right. I'm going to, once I get it set, I'm going to glue that in place in the truss, and that's going to distribute all the loads on the inside of the wing. And then basically I'm going to do the same to the other side, and I've got that all cut out and ready. So it's a matter of a glue up tomorrow, and I'll probably have that ready. And it has another of those broom handles. And then Lee from, Brian, who's, I think it was it Ra-Ra? On our servers. So they apparently fought over helping us, who's going to actually help us. But they both did, really. Brian's a good friend of Lee, and Lee is with Windcatcher RC, and they sent us, we talked about it before, but they sent us that carbon fiber tube. And the bigger carbon fiber tube they sent fits like a, there's no, the air that gets pushed out through the center. It can't go through the outside. It's that tight. You know, it's a nice snug slide in to the broom handle. So nice. I'm going to have a center section in the fuse that's permanently in there with just a collar that tube is glued into.
Mm-hmm.
So that carbon fiber tube is, or I don't know if I'll have it set in there, is glued. I'll figure out how I want to specifically get that set up. But basically, it's going to be permanently in the fuse center, and then the wings kind of push in, and then they'll kind of latch into that groove. You know how Spons has his, it has the groove on the top. The big one will have that.
I still haven't built one.
What's that?
I still haven't built any of the Wonders.
I know you're good. That's on, I put that on your list as things to build.
No,
Because you need to, when we build, the next time we build, and we'll get into that very shortly, that's definitely what you need to pull out and start building.
Because
mm-hmm. you need one. You need yours.
Of course.
Anyway, so those, again, they fit like a glove. The thing is, the one spar is super strong. I'm really pleased. I haven't done an official test. I have basically a 30-pound cat litter. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that fuse and support it midway out the spar to okay. simulate the average load of the wing. And then I'm going to try to hang the kitty litter in the middle.
30 pounds is a lot of force.
Yeah, but the fuselage is going to weigh at least 30 pounds or at least 5 pounds. And if we're doing acrobatics and combat, that's a 6x multiplier for safety.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, when you're designing full-scale plane, if you're doing acrobatics, if it's a normal, like, trainer plane, it's a 3x safety multiplier, typically.
Okay.
So, and for when they talk about acrobatic planes, they say 6. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I've got 30 pounds of cat litter. I can at least see if it holds that, which it feels like it should. And I kind of like, you know, no, I want this to be strong. Like I want this to be, and you know, the box, because I'm doing the, those square trusses, you know, there's no torsion in it. So I've got a couple formers ready to cut out. So once I put those on, it's really just sheeting that wing. And then that wing will be almost completely done. But either of them, I mean, they'll go quick. And part of what I'm doing is I'm also testing. I didn't mention, you're like, hey, you're building two of those, right? Like, I mean, I just bring them up. Like, I know I'm hoping, look, again, the goal is to definitely get one done, and I want to get the second done. I should be able to. My hope is as I'm doing this, I'm correcting the digital files that everything's measured off of, right? So if I can, there's certain parts of it that I can just use a needle printer to print.
Okay.
And then I can have those parts done dead accurate. And then the other stuff is really just kind of cobbling it together and making a couple cuts and folding. So that should be relatively simple. So that's the goal. That's kind of where I was thinking it might go with it. And if I don't, I'm not going to cry. I'll just do it like I did the first time. It didn't take that. It's not all that much. You know what I mean? It's but, you know, it's a project and it's big.
It's really big.
Yeah, that panel you're looking at, it's just the one half. And granted, you know, I'm going to score it in half and it's going to fold over on itself. But basically, that's one whole wing half, that panel. The bottom skin and the top together. It's big. So, yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've really done anything else. That's pretty much what I've been. Looking at the planning and going to the air show with Amy and her family and mine. So you know, we had a good
time. Did you make it to the Joe Nall air show or just the one in Beaufort?
I think that's this weekend. It goes from this earlier this week to this weekend, I think.
Oh.
And you're the one who needs to go. You live right there.
Yeah, I won't be able to make it.
I know. We talked about that.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm bummed that we both can't go. You know, there's one in the fall, September 29th to October 8th, Nall in the fall. So we can look, and I heard that's a big one. No, it says May 12th through the 20th. So that's 2 weeks away. About 2 weeks away. So if you aren't, there's a lot of people, a lot of podcasters going there. A couple ones that we know. The RC Roundtable guys are two of them are going. I think Lee and Fitz are going. And okay. I know the RC Plan Lab guys are going. Ron, Tom, I think Dave's going too. So those are the ones I know about. I know, I think, the AMA podcast, I'm pretty sure that guy gets out there too. I think it's Matt. I'm trying to think of the other podcasts I listen to. I think the other guys that I've heard are like in Utah, like they're out, they're not making that kind of trip. You know what I mean? it's not going to be easy, but yeah. So let's see, first weekend. Yeah, I guess the first weekend is the big weekend. So if they say the 12th, that would be, yeah, it's Friday the 12th. It's two weekends from this coming Friday.
Let me see what my on-call schedule is.
It's, if you're just doing the first weekend, if you're not doing the entire week, you know, it'll probably be like $80 to $100, depending on if you're going to fly or camp or what.
I'd end up just being a spectator.
I mean, you might just go. My thought was I was planning to just go a day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Junior pilots are $20 a day with a pairing of the paying guardian, you know? And for my family, be like about $100 to go for a day, which, again, as I understand it, it's an absolute extravaganza of RC and flight. And it's big. So it may be worth going to just see what the heck is going on. They all have dates for next year. I'm not on call
that weekend.
Well, maybe we can make them schedule a way to get out there if we can. It's also the end of the school year, so everybody wants to do all the things. That makes it really difficult. May 10th through the 18th is next year, and May 9th through the 17th is the year after. So they've got dates piled out. So if we can't do it this year, we can maybe put it on our calendar for next year, so we're more likely to get there.
Well, speaking of dates, I want to take this opportunity to segue.
Very good.
You like that, did you?
I did. I like it.
We have two more new build parties coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that the one for Friday, May 5th, 9 p.m. Eastern time, you've got labeled as build party two. So I guess the last build party we had
was
build party one.
It was officially.
Okay. And then Friday, May 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern time is the final noob build party that we have scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be able to make both of those.
Okay, good. Well, that means you'll probably have your noob together. Your noob wonder.
Here's hoping.
Right?
I need to have at least one ready for Flight Fest.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to include links to the event links. That'll get you in.
Event links?
Yeah, they're event links.
Look at that.
Yeah. We'll see about putting a link to the Discord like we usually do. Join us. We're constantly talking about stuff. There's people building all the time. We're always talking shop and supporting each other, not just in the hobby, outside the hobby as well, but... But again, when you want to talk shop, it's not always easiest. We have a bunch of video channels that are designed so that people can build together. And we encourage that. All we ever ask you to do is it's keep it family friendly. And we'll call it with a flight test attitude where it's, working together, not working against, you know.
That's right.
Easy enough. It's easy to do when you're all talking about the thing you really enjoy. So,
yeah,
it's good stuff. So please join us. I know Joe and I are planning to be on both of those nights. I'll probably, as June rolls around, I will probably have more build nights that I'll kind of pop into there as we head towards Flight Fest. Remember, Flight Fest is June 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. It's June 22nd, 23rd, 24th.
Officially the 22nd,
Yeah. And I think we're traveling the 21st is our plan. I think we'll see. We haven't solidified all that stuff, but that's we're trying to figure that out. But just know that that's when it's happening. So if you're not there, you're square. I'm just kidding. You're not square. You're fine. But we'd love to see you there because we're going to be there and we're going to have some ridiculous stuff. We're going to be bringing these giant noob wonders We're going to be all over the place, and we're going to really look forward to hearing from you guys. Tell us, show us what you're building. Meet us. Say, hey, get a sticker. You know, that kind of thing.
No, we got so many stickers. Daggum.
Maybe. We do. We still have a lot of stickers.
I've still got a pile of stickers. Not as many as we had.
I forgot. Yeah, you still have a pack of stickers. I sent a lot of the stickers I had to our constituents to make kits. So if you order a kit or if you order a sticker kit, if you want to get a decal set, reach out to Flying Tiger, Tony, in our Discord and ask him to send you a kit. He'll ask you a couple quick things like, what would you like as your name and what number would you like on the thing? And he'd be happy to send it to you. If you, again, want to purchase a kit for you, your friends, your loved ones, your cat, your dog, I don't know, go to Hangar RC. They've got them for sale right now. With those comes a bunch of stickers so that you can use them as roundels or, you know, stick them on your cat or your dog or your kids, whatever.
What? All right.
Anyway, my point is if you want stickers, that's another way to get some. Yeah. I think that, you know, there's just been a lot of building in the community. I know one of the guys is building a Proton, one of the, what is it? Shoot, I want to say Edward RC, and that's not right. I'll think of it later when it's too late, probably. But anyway, so he's building that. That's a pretty cool thing. We've got some of our usual culprits are all building different things. We got somebody who's building an H plane.
Yeah. Now, what is that?
I don't know. It's a creation of his own. It's fantastic. What is it? Dave, Speederbike Dave, I think, was the one who's building that. We got a couple other bikers in here, so they were all geeking out on cycling. It's pretty cool. We have a number of cyclers in our group. If you want to see some of the pictures,
cycling text channel now.
We should probably. if you want to see some of the pictures from the air show as we talk about them, if you go to 4:23 at 5:12 p.m. in the general channel, I posted a bunch there.
Was a date timestamp. Okay.
Yeah.
4:23 is the date. Okay.
I'll see if I can post them in our show notes. That'll help us maybe build a quick page for it. But yeah, there's so much stuff going on there. We'll talk about that in a second. Quinn, Perks, and Oliver, who love flying 3D, they put together a few 3D planes. I know Spons put together his version, kind of using the idea you had with the crenellated edges.
Yeah. He did that World of Warcraft one.
Yeah. Yeah. And that mask or whatever, I think he did a vinyl outline. Mm-hmm. And that looked awesome. I mean,
yeah, it did.
Just dang,
top notch.
Wow, way to knock it out of the park. I was like, oh, I need to start. Maybe I need to get a. He like, maybe I need to get a cricket. and then, that was a Miles Berkey-matic. He posted an article about, I guess, a researcher who's trying to create a mechanical engineering professor who's trying to basically marry taxidermy with bird drones to help study birds, right? And of course, then there's the military, like you don't know that this isn't a bird, so we get to spy on you, maybe, I guess. I don't know, maybe that's the military application. But what he wants to do is study birds. So basically he takes a bird that's passed and uses its feathers and skin to build an ornithopter that can follow the flock, which is crazy. It's a a drone designed to follow the flock. And so we'll put a link to that unusual article because I thought it was a pretty neat, I don't know how we found it, but that was a pretty neat thing. There's so much going on. Oh, Amy flew her, I helped her crash the mini speedster. I didn't mean to. Oh, I launched it and I guess the thrust angle was straight. Which it's high and it created an overturning moment and it needs to be up thrusted a little bit, I think, and that'll balance it out so it'll fly level. But she got some really good pictures of that. About how she really did a good job making it look pretty. I think.
Did she enjoy the little bit of flight she got with it, or?
There was not much. She had a really good attitude about it. That's what I'll tell you. She made me feel like maybe there's hope. And she's like, that's okay. We don't have to, it's not, maybe it won't be perfect every time, but it's okay. Okay, there we go.
Well, good. That's a fantastic attitude.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. Whew. I just felt terrible. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, it'll be okay. We can glue this. We have the technology. We can rebuild.
Oh, yeah. That looks great.
Yeah. She did a great job. And I know, let's see, Matthew Bush Hawk has a new cub that he ended up picking up. Looks sharp. Big, too. So he's really excited about that. So anyway, yeah, just a bunch of our community are really active, and they're talking about all the different things. So join us. It'll be a good conversation. We'd love to have you join us. Put your hat in the ring, right?
That's right. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about tools for a little bit.
Okay.
Not too long. I don't think this will take up too much time, probably.
No.
So your thought was to make a list of, like, each of us make a list of tools that we're like, these are the top tools, in our opinion, for working in the hobby.
Yeah.
And I assume as we go through them, we're going to kind of justify that a little bit. But then also compare the list and see what we had overlapping.
Okay. All right. I feel like the tool I start getting lost without is a good needle nose pliers.
Okay.
Use them to snip things pretty, whether it be soft metals or, you know, craft sticks or things like that. And then I'm always trying to bend this or that or pull a wire through or pull a plug, like, oh, let me get in there and get that. Got to pull it out because they're always handy. And like I said, if I'm ever at the field and I need to adjust a control rod or something, I usually kind of grip it and twist just a little bit to shorten it a hair or lengthen it. And it's kind of my go-to tool to kind of adjust stuff. And so to me, it's one of my go-to tools. You need one of those if you don't have a good needle nose pliers, because I've got a bad one and it's bad. Don't throw it out, burn it, melt it into a figurine or something. I don't know what you do. Do something with it. But needle nose pliers. Just
gummed up, hard to move?
No, it's like off, and it twists a little as you, because the grips are off a hair, because they just aren't tight in the rotation part.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Get a good pair. It's worth the money, I promise. What about you? What's one of the tools you tend to go to a lot? Or do you want me to roll through mine?
I figured you could go through your whole list, and then I can, like, note what of yours showed up on mine.
Okay. All right. Hobby knife. Obviously, you know, if we're cutting foam all the time, it's, you know, the hobby knife and the kind of in pair with that is the cutting mat. But I'll talk about the hobby knife first, because it's like the tool we use to build foam planes. I have an aluminum one. I hate it. It's too light. It needs to have like sort of some mass. I wish I had that. I think you have one that's a little bit wider.
So I'm not crazy. Those little aluminum pin ones don't feel right, do they?
No, they don't. And I have one that's a regular size, but it's too light. It doesn't have the feel. It's not as smooth. There's something about it.
But I want that chonky feel to it.
Yeah, a little bit of a chonky feel. Yeah, and then so steel one, good. It's the one you're going to go to with the, you know, number 11 surgical, you know, knife in it or blade in it, and you know, you really can build whatever you dream up. So my whole house is a living proof. one tool I find indispensable because I design a lot is CAD. I design planes, you know, I've got 30, 40 plane designs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I come up with an idea, I want to make it, I don't want to just make it, I want to make it exact. And I want to lay it out on the plan sheet. So I print once, just lay, spray, and go, and start cutting. So I can get my idea out quicker. So For me, CAD. And I use AutoCAD, which is expensive, but that's what I have available to me as kind of part of my business. So it's not an additional expense, but there's a number of pretty low cost or free CAD programs that work really well. That you should be able to do. Biggest thing is that you just need to be able to export it to a PDF that you can print. And with that, printing is a 3D printer. It's good for all the accessories, like all the accessories. You know,
as long as you can keep it printing.
As long as you can. Well, you're trying to print a whole plane, sir. A whole plane.
You're not. I'm not. Nope. I won't do it.
You're like, oh, that's a.
I'm not going to throw you under the bus like that.
Calling a kettle black over there. Fair enough. No, but
Mr. can't get his firmware right.
Okay, look, that's on the original one. I abandoned ship and got one that works better. Anyway, so it works, and it works well. When it does, you can print all the bits and bobs. And that's, you know, I'm like, the fact that I can print out scale tires, you know, is just incredible. You know, I've got the little, you know, connectors that go in between this and that. I've got little pilot figureheads. You can print the ducted fan is another example. Like all those things, like they just... It would cost a lot of money to try those things, and have a 3D printer to be able to print it makes it simpler. Z-bend pliers, because I end up having to get the right landscaping wire, the right thickness, I guess, so they're not crimping it and busting the wire.
Like my wire does.
Yeah. I was really surprised. I'm like, oh no, that's really what's happening. Oh my God. But yeah, Z-bend pliers. Cause I use the landscaping wire from Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever it is. And then I use those and one end is already done. Like one crimp, it's done. That saves me all sorts of time that I might get distracted.
And it's just nice to have a good bend. You'll be able to stick it in there. Boop, done.
Done. And it's right. Yeah, it's good. So that's one of those tools that I'm glad I bought. You know, some of those you buy and you're like, well, I don't really know. Like, I hope this is worth it. You know, like,
yeah, I use it every now and then.
I've got a prop balancer stand, right? I haven't used it. Nope.
Like, I know that's important, especially in the bigger planes.
Yes.
I've not once balanced one of my props.
No, that might be half our problem.
I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway, so that's like one of those tools where I thought it'd be helpful, and it was far less helpful. Maybe that's a whole separate episode. Battery alarms. The little battery alarms you put in the plane with your battery. So that way when you get down to like 3 point, if it sags down to 3.3, it starts beeping at you. So you know, okay, it's time to get in. You know, if you don't have the timer set yet. Those are really helpful. They're cheap. You can put a couple in the bag that you have your batteries in. So you can always have one when you plug in your battery, you have one there to grab and put in. I think they're really almost indispensable. And they kind of tell you like, oh, how much did I use? As a matter of fact, I didn't go and check mine yet. I know it was at full, so I'm curious to see how much I used today when I flew for 5 minutes. I think I added a cutting mat. I would have to say a good soldering iron is an indispensable tool, you know. Other than that, I'll call it not running dry, but every time I came up with an idea, I was like, that's a motor. That's a different kind of product. Like a flight controller. Like that's an awesome tool. And then maybe a flight controller is a tool for the hobby, where if you're looking at FPV, it's a way for you to have more hands off so you can enjoy the FPV and not have to stress. So in some senses, that's a tool. That's a pretty cool tool.
I think the soldering iron's a little more like, it's important. I think it's important in ways that is a little, that's sort of a niche tool. I think I whistled on that niche a little bit. but it's not, unless you're ordering, well, I don't know. Some motors don't come with the lead soldered on, so
they don't.
Yeah. Maybe you got a point.
So as a guy who started with an awful soldering iron, and needed to solder stuff on. And it was, I was about ready to quit the hobby just then. It was that awful. Oh, I can't even tell you. Anyway, a good solder.
Well, you're talking to quality. The guy who was using plumbing solder.
Well,
for electrical application.
We live, we learn, right? Thank God we learn. Oh, might be slow, but we get there.
Eventually.
My God, yeah. And I would, I guess, you know, for quadcopters and that kind of thing, you know, conformal coating or some way to waterproof your stuff, or if you have a water plane, that's an indispensable mm-hmm. tool to have. But I don't do that as much, so I won't put it high on the list. But if that's what you're doing, that's an important tool. I guess it's a product, but like to me, that's a tool. It's a tool to keep everything dry that you find important and make sure mm-hmm. that it's going to stick with you. I know I'm missing important ones. Well, let's hear about your list.
And maybe we'll circle back and think of a couple more as
maybe
we go.
Maybe we will. Look, everybody says that a voltmeter is awesome. Like, buy a voltmeter, you only need one, and it'll be good forever, right? You only need one. And I have one. I keep forgetting to plug it in and test my motors to see, you know, how much amps they pull. Anyway.
So I had a couple of yours, and we'll hit those as I go. Mm-hmm. These are in no particular order, just because I jotted them down as I thought of a relevant tool. Hot glue gun, which I was really surprised didn't show up on yours.
Oh, but, yeah, it's almost like ubiquitous. So that should be top. Without the hot glue gun, right. Really the foam planes don't come together well.
And having a hot glue gun that makes you happy, which I, you know, for someone who doesn't, which any of our listeners are going to get, but for someone who doesn't get it, like, that's going to sound dumb, but you got these little rinky dink ones that they use in the schools, and they have so little, I want to say heat capacity. So yeah. They get hot enough to melt the glue. But they can't stay hot enough.
Yeah, they can't keep melting it. And
right.
That's critical to what it we is. Do. Because we're pumping glue through that thing. Was it Speeder Bike Dave? He pulled his apart and he made a whole thing like...
I'm gonna put a thermistor in there and everything.
Yeah, he's like, I want this thing to melt everything and just keep melting it.
But that's I don't know that so much with the heating element as much as like the whole package.
Yeah.
Because they're like the little ones are not going to care. They're not going to have the volume of glue that can be heated because right. they're just a smaller package. You know, I remember Flight Fest last year. I handed a kid my hot gun. Because now Flight Fest, they sell the little rinky dink ones because... Hey, you're up there, you know, there's a couple options, but there's this little rinky-dink one to get you going. Mm-hmm. And every tool has its spot. I don't want to knock the rinky-dink ones because they will glue.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want a beefier glue gun that when I squeeze, I can run a long bead. You know, I'm not worried about having to have a rewarming period. I can run it as much as I want to run it, and I'm not going to run out of heat. Now, in addition to that, my glue gun makes me probably 80% happy. And I say that because when you watch the flight test videos, they've got the glue gun with the like needle tip.
Yeah.
And I think yours might have that as well.
One of them came with it, and I think I went with it. I think it came with a different tip. I have it. I could switch it. But once you have the glue in there, when it cools, you have to switch it hot. And I was like, yeah, I'm not playing with that.
Okay, I can see that. But yeah.
I just decided, like, that's not worth my pain.
But that tip, so mine, I don't have the little needle tip, so... Whenever I lay glue, I'm always laying a fair amount, and whenever I go to glue a crease or a 50% score or anything like that, like I'm gluing on top of the foam. I don't have a good way to, I can lay, I can get get it down in there, but it's not like I can stick that needle tip in there. So, you know, when it comes to your hot glue gun, get a, like, yeah, start out with a cheapie, whatever. But find one that's going to make you happy. You know, mm-hmm. Think about the application. I just grabbed mine from Walmart. And I was like, here's a beefy looking hot glue gun that's going to do better than these little ones that my wife had in her craft kit.
Yeah.
You know, if I had had the if I'd known then what I know now, I would have looked for something that had a, you know, a finer point to it. But anyway, I don't want to ride the hot glue gun all night.
That's okay.
Hobby knife. Now, you had that. Mm-hmm. Again, cornerstone of what we do. They've got, I think they've got knives. I could be talking out of the side of my mouth at this point, but I know with leather working, there were knives that had there were swivel knives. Mm-hmm. So as you cut, you could twist it and turn it. I know that's a leather worker tool. I don't know if we have that in the hobby knives. But the hobby knife and just keeping a stack of blades ready to go. Yeah. I use a blade until it's absolutely shot.
Once it starts to peel the foam a little, that's when you replace it or sharpen it.
Mm-hmm. If
you keep going, you're really hurting yourself.
Look, I'm weird like that. There's some things I was just like, I'm going to work. I want a soda. I'm going to pull in and buy a bottle of soda. When I'm working on my hobby, I'm going to use that blade until it can't be used anymore. I want to save that fraction of a penny, man.
I know. It's like $10 for 100 of them. And you're like, I know I could get another penny out of this. I did the same thing.
Screwdriver.
Yeah. Oh,
look. So, yeah, you need them for your servos to mount the servo control arm. Mm-hmm. You need it for mounting your motors.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, there's the flight test branded screwdrivers. They're the right size. They are designed for the application. But there's other screwdrivers out there that are not branded that will do the job just as well. But a good long, small Phillips screwdriver.
What about a hex driver, or a small hex driver set where you got like three different sizes? I've found occasional, like, oh, this nut is a hex drive driven screw, you know, like, oh, shoot.
I've not run into a ton of hexes, but the CPAC was a hex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are the motor mounts. There's 50-50 is depending on if you're usually if it's a quadcopter motor, it's going to be a hex driver because quadcopters are put together with hex head bolts. Typically.
So. Yeah, you know, I didn't think about it too much because I've got so many Allen wrenches around my place. I just got to dig and find them. But yeah.
It's nice to have one. A juxtaposition to that is this is a tool that I should have had on my list. Have you ever seen the little RC cars? They have, it almost looks like, you know, the lug wrench for when you're replacing your tire, right?
Right.
That big kind of cross. Well, they have like the little mini version, but it's all the hex bolts, you know, and it's basically they have different sizes on each end of the of that little cross tool.
The problem with that is when you're mounting a motor to a power pod, you don't have the room for that crossbar.
Well, you know, I'm just saying there's other spots where if you're doing like a 3mm bolt, right?
Yeah,
and you're doing the hex head to screw it in. And then you got to retain the nut and keep it from spinning. That's when that little tool comes in handy. I've used that more often than I thought I would. If you have like an old, like I ended up buying a Tommy Grasshopper or something like that. And they all come with those little tools. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be useful. And I always have it kind of set aside in a little stash. I don't know what you call it, a little bucket. And then I just kind of keep it in there. And I always know where to go to get it because I find I need it more often than I think.
We had a drawer in my house when I was growing up. It was in the kitchen. It was under the stove, far right-hand side. It was a stack of like four or five drawers. It was basically the middle drawer. We called it the junk drawer. And it was the catch-all. And that's where that would have gone.
Uh-huh.
Because it wasn't junk, but that's just where you put the random stuff.
Where else does it go? The answer is, I don't know.
Throw it in a junk drawer.
Throw it in a junk drawer. We'll need it later. You'll see.
Yeah. Z-Bend pliers. I love mine. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I buy my landscaping flags from Tractor Supply.
Yeah.
Tractor and Trailer Supply or whatever that I got here in town. The way they process and treat that metal makes it extremely brittle.
Right.
It's so not that when I Z-bend it.
Yeah.
Right. So when I Z-bend it, I guess maybe it's tempered metal. I don't know. Splits. And it'll work. I can get it through the horn and all. It's a process and it catches. But if I put too much load on it, on one of those ends while I'm trying to get them through, I'm going to break that end off and then I got to recrimp my end. So, you know, I need to go buy some more flags from, but I can never find them at Lowe's. I don't know why.
They're in the, depending on the.
You've told me, but yeah. I've gone and looked and I just don't see them. So.
Well, just ask somebody. You know, it's usually that simple.
Usually. a flat surface.
Whoa, look at you pulling out the big, it's a tool, the workbench surface. Yeah.
There you go. And I say that because we take it for granted, but I work on my 6 or 8 foot fold out tables that I bought years ago for our computer gaming parties that we used to have. And even then, they weren't perfectly flat. Mine have bellies to them and rises, and they're my workbench.
Yeah.
I've built every one of my planes on one of these, but the inherent problem with that is it is difficult to be square and true. And so all my planes, you know, it's already difficult to be square and true anyway, unless you got guides and such. But when you're freehanding it, at least if you got a nice flat surface, you're just that much closer. But all mine have little bellies and rises to them. Nothing of my stuff sets flat, which is why I brought home that 8 foot wall mount shelf desk thing. It's just pressed wood with a Formica surface on it. Straight edge. Now, my straight edge, a lot of times, is just a smaller cutting mat. It's like a 5-inch by foot-long cutting mat kind of thing, but ideally like a metal ruler, metal yardstick, or any sort of a straight edge that's hard that you're not going to cut through that can guide you, whether you're drawing a line or you're cutting, whatever it is, a straight edge. Straight edges can also be used for helping you fold in a, or bend or crease in a straight line.
Yeah, and if they're thick, they're stiffer, so that you can kind of wrench against them a little bit better. I also find the thicker one. So I've got three metal rulers. Right? I have a 12-inch one that came from, I think, the dollar store. I got an 18-inch one that probably came from an office supply store, and they're pretty thin. And what I find is as I'm pulling the knife along that, it may, every once in a while, it kind of skips up onto it. You know, and it kind of ruins ruins the blade a little bit, and it ruins the ruler bit, and you're like, oh. Even the ones that are the wooden ones with the little metal strip in it, I find that happens sometimes. So those are still helpful and useful, but you need that metal edge. Otherwise, you're going to cut into, at some point, while you're pulling that straight line, you're going to cut into it.
And oh,
then,
yeah.
And then you go, oh, now every time I pull a straight line, it's going to have a bump.
And I have that problem because I still use sometimes when I'm drawing straight lines or I want that straight edge, I've got like a 4-inch by a little over a foot cutting pad that's got the grid and the rule marks on it and everything. And I've used that. It was my wife's at some point, but you know, I've used that when I'm pulling my knife and I have taken little slivers out of it. So it's not perfectly true. Now, fortunately, the hobby we're in, the material we work with, the scale we're working at, there's plenty of room for imperfection. But
yeah, especially at 11 feet or 10 feet or 110 inches. So what was that? Yeah.
But at the flip side of that is I've got a full-blown, do I want to call it a framing square? It's been a while. It's been long enough. It's the full T or L-shaped square.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A building square.
No, it's not square. The L square, though. It's the full, like a T.
It's a Okay, it's still a framing square, but it's a big
okay.
Yeah.
So I guess where I get off is I'm thinking a speed square, a little triangle.
Yeah, the little triangle. And they're helpful, too. Matter of fact, that should probably be a tool, too. Because I just use it now to kind of, I use that to keep the edges perpendicular when I'm gluing sometimes. And then I'll also use that to make a quick cross that's perpendicular to the one edge. If I just want to get a
But you're not going to be perpendicular if you're on a rounded table.
Let's not talk about that. Anyway, go ahead.
I just mean my warped tables.
That's experience talking there.
Yeah. I mean, I have when I'm doing, when I'm drawing lines and when I was working on the Nubitross and the sea duck and different things, I've pulled out that framing square, you know, big as it is to help draw my lines because I wanted to, do it in one take.
And with that, I've got a 36 inch aluminum yardstick basically, and it's the same kind of deal. It's the same kind of thing that has a thickness to it, and that really helps in having your knife run along it and not hop up onto it,
skip up onto it. Yeah,
so that really makes a big difference. So if you are selecting one, if you can get one with a little bit of thickness, makes a big difference.
A pen, specifically a pen, because I'll use my pen in a couple different ways. One, drawing, tracing, marking, denoting. But also, when I do my 50% scores, I will use, a lot of times I use a barbecue skewer to kind of press that in and hollow that out a little bit so that the fold over goes easier.
Sure.
But then I'll also use my pen tip with the tip retracted and press that in to kind of spread that press out a little bit.
What kind of pen? I mean, is that like a ballpoint? A lot of people use ballpoints.
Generally ballpoint is all I'm...
You're saying it's a retractable.
Right, so one of the click pens.
Yeah, okay.
They've got a medium thickness to it, not necessarily the ball, although I guess if I were to get technical about it, 0.5 millimeter.
Look at you.
Just because it's... No, 0.7 millimeter.
All right. Yeah.
0.5 millimeters, like your extra fine. That's what I like to write with.
Right. But do this work with.
Right. You want like the 0.7, 0.8, the bigger ball. It's not going to gum up the moment, some trash gets in the ball. But I say retractable, but even not retractable. If you got one of the little cheapy Bics that you can flip around and it's got, the flat end at the back. Really what I'm getting at is it's a multi-use tool that you can trace with, draw with, denote with, but also press those 50% scores that you're going to fold with. So there's times that maybe it would be advantageous to go in and do a bevel cut, but instead of doing a bevel cut, I'll just go in and press the foam really, really hard with a pen. And I'll start with a barbecue skewer, but then I'll go back in with a pin and really spread that pressing mechanism out so that then I can fold over like the leading edge of the wing.
Okay.
Okay. Tape, a variety of tape, clear tape.
That's one of those ones where I'm like, that's a material, not a tool. But I mean, you're absolutely right. I agree.
But
I mean, that's the best. I found that that's one of the best ways to get solid, beautiful color on a plane.
And I didn't even think about it in that way because I was thinking little Scotch tape or the clear tape for taping your plans to the foam board. I was like a clear packing tape for gluing taping pieces of foam together before you glue them. Or if I'm going to do like a leading edge fold over that I know is going to be real tight, I'll tape it first before I do my fold over, and that strengthens it.
And if you
I'll
need
tape
a thing
the bottom of the plane to slick it up and waterproof it.
Yeah. You can also
water resistant
fiber reinforced tape to make sure that there's no stretch.
Fiber reinforced tape, no stretch, but also around the power pod. That's where your strength is coming. Yeah. I don't do it all the time, but I'm starting to do it more.
You're like, well, maybe I should start.
No, I'm doing it more, yeah. But yeah, I certainly didn't used to do it. I've used painter's tape because it peels back off real easily if I'm masking, or just when I was doing the Master Series builds, you need the painter's tape for helping hold foam in those curled states as you're shaping.
Yeah, in that sense, I guess it's very much a tool.
I think of it as such.
Nice.
I think of it as such.
Good catch.
Pliers, like you say, needle nose. I don't make a huge use of needle nose. I more use regular pliers, and that's for tightening the nuts on the motors, because not all my motors have the pinhole to push a little piece of metal through to twist it on real tight when you're putting your prop on.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep. Some of them are just regular nuts.
Yeah, or they got the plastic in there and they're lock nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got to carry a pair of pliers.
You have to have a plier for those. Actually,
or the correct size wrench would be better.
One of the tools, and I don't think either of us have it, but there's a bell holder plier, which is basically like a loose wrench that'll fit around an average bell. It's almost like an adjustable wrench, but the inside is coated with a varying thickness rubber. I think it depends on kind of how big of a thing you're trying to grip. But the idea is it's supposed to grip, and it has a hole in the center. It's kind of like a gripping hand, kind of almost like a hot dog gripper. But like, you know, you can actually put some oomph into it. And the idea is you grip the bell of the motor, so that keeps that tight, where you can then wrench against it with your regular wrench to tighten up the nuts better. And that's a lot of quadcopter guys will have one of those, because it's like this. Holding this motor is awful. I'm going to cut myself trying to do this, you know? So they sell those. And I've yet to buy one, but I might really like one if I bought it. I'd love to hear, honestly, if anybody's listening and uses it, I'd love to hear what their experience is.
So my buddy that I bought my Phantom DJI Phantom 3 Pro from, he had bought one of those for those motors that are on there for when he's putting his props on.
Yeah.
And I just have yet to use it. I've got the tool for the DJI, but I just twirl the prop on and then hold the motor and snug it down. Maybe some folks make use of it. It's obviously a tool that exists that people buy, or they wouldn't continue to offer it, but, sandpaper. Now, I don't use it a lot, but whether it's sanding beveled edges or, again, I don't use it for this, but it's perfectly reasonable to do it when we're mounting our servos or we're using our tooth floss hooks. I always have to go in and rough it with the hobby knife, but you can take sandpaper and rough it.
Yep. That's what I started doing lately. I have a small square now. Yeah.
Or you make a sanding block for working your bevel edges.
Yep.
And then while I didn't put the soldering iron on mine, I put what I call the soldering arms.
Oh, I got you.
And the little grip. Is that stand with the two alligator clip arms and the magnifying glass that comes off of it?
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Helping hands.
Yep. Those are good just for all kinds of situations when you just maybe need something to stay somewhere. It's got a somewhat heavy base. But then when you are soldering, it's just an extra set of hands.
Now, have you ever used the ones with the little, I'll call ball cup connectors, where you can, they're little Dr. Octopus arms almost, with little alligator clips at the end.
I've not had the Doc Ock style, but I've got basically where they've got three joints in them.
Okay.
So they got like a shoulder, elbow, wrist.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering if that seemed to be better. You know what I mean? They look like they're more versatile, and I just never, I never picked one up.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, mine was my grandfather's.
Okay.
So, yeah. They didn't have those fancy ones back then.
We were glad we had anything. We just accepted it.
So, yeah, those are my top picks for tools.
That's your list, huh? Nice. So we should expect every one of those in your toolbox and the go box to go to Flight Fest.
In my go box? No.
I mean, you know, for Flight Fest.
Maybe.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, not the go box, like, we're going to the field. That's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to bring the soldering irons to Flight Fest with me, because, again, that's a bit of a situational tool.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when I have need for it, it's nice to have.
It is.
So.
Good. I think, yeah, that covers it. I think the only thing I didn't mention earlier about the air show was the Blue Angels Fat Albert, the C-130.
Okay.
Was flying, and then I got a little picture, and I attached it. Below it is the little acrobatic, crazy acrobatic model that I think it was Patty Wagstaff was flying. And then we had Ron Holland was flying, or maybe it was Ron Holland who was flying that at that time. But those two acrobatic stunt plane people were incredible. And then we didn't catch this, but I thought for sure a plane had blown up. There's apparently like the military, you know, tactical team or whatever, just literally like they just set stuff on fire or something. I don't know what. Anyway, they just, their demo was set it ablaze, and they basically light this whole, a small pond of fuel of some sort ablaze. And I mean, we were driving, I'm like, oh my God, a plane didn't just go in, did it? Like, did they start the show? Jeez, I hope not. Oh my God. That'd be awful. There's a giant black plume kind of going up, you know?
Like, well,
I don't hear any sirens. And it's not continuing, so we might be okay. And apparently it was this team doing their work. And I was hoping to catch it the next day, and we had to leave before they started. But I was looking forward to seeing the giant ball of flame and the giant black cloud coming from the just outside of the tarmac there. Yeah, NASA was there. Got some NASA stickers and some stuff. There's a bunch of helicopters, a Chinook and a couple other Apache, and I don't even know all the names. I'm not a big helicopter guy, but there's three or four of them flying different formations, weaving in and out, doing all sorts of maneuvers, literally flying just right overhead, just coming out of almost sideways. It was like really cool. The parachuter guys. If you can go to an air show, go to an air show. I think that's the sum up. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Go do it. But no, so those, let's see. I think that those are the must-have tools. I mean, all of the things we listed, like, you kind of have to have them eventually to have, you know, I'll call it to get a plane together in a kind of relaxed, organized way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not CAD per se. Probably do without that, but all the other stuff. I mean, I think everything we mentioned, you kind of need. Not right away.
Yeah, you could arguably get by. Well, you could get by 100% without CAD and without a 3D printer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get by without Z-Bend pliers.
You can.
I think most everything else is at some point going to be.
Yeah.
And the soldering iron, soldering arms. At some point, you're going to need a soldering iron.
Yeah.
Depending on the parts that you buy, you can get by without the soldering arms. They just make things easier.
That's what it is. This is a tool that if you can find them pretty cheap, and I know Harbor Freight, I think, has a set pretty cheap of varying lengths, forceps. Those long, slightly curved things usually used for medical. They're little scissors,
okay,
or little plier grips. What they're useful for is when you're trying to fish stuff through your plane, and it's a big plane. And you can't get it all the way down the length of that little, like, tube you left to to snake it through?
That's a thought, because I've taken so landscaping helpful. Wire, the flags,
yeah,
bent it into a hook and shoved that down through the yeah. whatever.
Yeah, me too. And I've like cut up the inside of my plane pretty good trying it. So yeah, I've used those pliers. I happened to be there. So what's nice about them is that basically you can close them, but you don't have to close them all the way. And it kind of ratchets shut, which means you can put them in, grip something, and kind of get a little bit of pressure till it clicks, and then you can let go of it. Which means it can hold on to something and keep it from coming out the other end while you're trying to futz with something on the other end of that wire or whatever. And then when you finally get it set and you can kind of put it in, you can then lead the rest through because it's still attached. So it's pretty helpful in a couple of different ways. So that's a tool I should have had on the list. That's
a tool. You know what else would be a good tool? One of those steel bowls with a magnet in the bottom for when you're dealing with your screws.
And I've got one. I just have it for all the mechanical stuff for the car. And I'm like, never think to just, maybe I should get one of those for the hobby.
All right, you know what? Let's close this out because we'll be here all night. What about this tool? What about that tool? If you have a tool that has made your life so much easier, hobby-wise, that we've missed, we didn't talk about, you think we should know about, or that we should have thought of, feel free to let us know about it. You reach me, Joe at AviationRCNoob. Joe at AviationRCNoob.com. You reach Matthew at Matthew@AviationRCNoob.com. Or reach us both, AviationRCNoob@gmail.com. As always, guys, we thank you for tuning in and listening. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as we've enjoyed having it. We want to thank our patrons for continuing to support us, helping to keep the lights on, or not just helping, but absolutely keeping the lights on because it's covering the bills. So thank you so much for that. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in and listened. It's because of you guys that we continue to do this.
Yep.
Feel free to join us on our Discord server. We'll have the links to the event invites down there. I will try to remember for the first time in like 20 episodes to include a link to join the Discord server. Yeah, because I haven't included that in a long time.
Yeah, when you join the server, you have to go up to the rules and just click the red and make like basically an emoji response. And that way we know you've read them. And then all the other channels open up. I don't know if everybody knows that. Sometimes we forget to kind of, I don't know, there's not always a great way to put it out there. But go join us and do that and then really engage. It's fun.
Yeah, there's a fair number of people that have joined the server who have not accepted the rules. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if they don't know. But there's a fair number that are just sitting there who don't have any rules. But accepting the rules is part of it. Just as we were trying to formalize anyway, and get things, you know, working and kind of future proofing some things. But yeah, join us on Discord. Feel free to swing by the Facebook page, or the group. So there's the page. Don't worry about that. Join the group. It's just easier for Matt and I to be able to see things that are going on and interact with. We got the build nights coming up. Flight Fest is coming up in a month and a half, 2 months. So that's closing in quick. Hopefully by next time we'll have, Matt and I have been toying around with the idea of a t-shirt, for the Noob fly-in. So maybe by next time, we can have something finalized on that, whether we're going to do it or not.
Okay.
And I could keep going, but I think that's all the big stuff.
Yeah, and we'll have links to all this stuff in the show notes of the podcast. So go look for them. Go click on those links and go look for the things you want to find. Build a Noob Wonder. That's all I can say. That's what I'm leaving with. Build a Noob Wonder. It's a great flyer.
I'll be working on mine coming up soon.
Good. All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Yeah, I think that's about it, right?
I think that's it.
All right. Thanks again. I'll see you later.
We'll see you guys next time. Well, we just need to make sure, like, we're both going to have volunteer schedules, and then we've both volunteered to help Dan with build, and then we got the new Wonderfly in, but around all that, we just need to make sure that both of us, but you especially, just get the relaxing, you know, hanging at, like, we get some time.
But that's the thing, is like that place, it's all good. I mean, all good. It's usually it's because I haven't eaten if I'm some kind of weird way. Like, I love it there. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I don't mind doing the, like, oh, I get to help people build. Sweet. I get to help Dan build with people. Sweet. I get to go build with people in the tent. Sweet. We get to be on the line and fly planes. Awesome. We just found a whole bunch of new people to talk with for about 20 minutes. That's really awesome. Like,
yeah,
it's all good, man. The whole time there, it's all good.
We're going to have people swinging through our campsite I won't say nonstop, but hopefully, you know, this year we're going to have some people swinging by to see us.
I hope so. And that's why I wanted to get flags. Again, when she was like, it's $20 for four of them. I'm like, what? I'm like, how much does it take to build a flag? I'm like, yeah, we'll work with you. Go ahead. Sweet.
Yeah, $20 for four.
I mean, that's
decent sized flags.
Yeah, I mean, that's not at all for the physical flag. That's not for the actual printed part of it. But you know, whatever. Okay. She's gonna do a sublimation vinyl cut or something, I think, for it.
You want me to kick it off?
Yeah, I figured you would. If you get all bummed.
No, I wouldn't. I was honestly not gonna do that to you this time. it was a fun joke last time. I wouldn't do that to you again.